The opinions expressed in the following program are solely those of the host.
The following program may contain coarse language and is intended for an adult audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to the hottest show on the Internet G-Band, broadcasting from outside the limits of convention. This is radio without borders, without rules, and without reservation.
With your hosts, Radio Free G, joined by super producer Mumbles.
Search for Radio Free G on iTunes, or you may head to the website radiofreeg.blogspot.com. Welcome to the G-Band.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. I am your host, Radio Free G, along with super producer Mumbles, and this is the first show of 2008. It is early January, and this is episode 30 of Radio Free G, Vista B. Shitta. Yes, listenership, I had the misfortune of experiencing Vista firsthand, and it was terrible. I found in my archives two songs I wish that I could give credit where credit is due to the authors, but it's been so long, I don't know where to point you on the internet to find more from these people. They're parody songs, and it shows you that as far as we have come, Microsoft always keeps us struggling to stay in the present. These songs are going to deal with the problems people had upgrading to Windows 95, the first beast of a program that they came out with when they tried to screw everything all around. Just when you were getting comfortable with making your AutoExec bat files for Windows 3.11, they come out and blow everything out of the water. But, you know, that's what they do. I mean, Bill Gates can't sell you the same non-functioning crap over and over and over again if he doesn't give us some new bells and whistles. I'll get into that later on in the show. Also, we are going to talk about some happenings in the blogosphere. Now, I know that a lot of people who listen to this show do have blogs of their own, and for 2008, to raise my listenership subscriber numbers, I have started doing link exchanges with people. We're taking this to the streets. It's grassroots. Same way that, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses go from door to door. They may get slammed in their face 10 times, but that 11th time, they find someone and make a believer out of them. That's what I'm doing. I'm going around to different blogs that I find that get my sense of humor. I'm not going to be linking to, you know, celebrity gossip blogs and political pundits and all that kind of stuff. This is for people who enjoy a little bit of spice in their humor and have broad and varied interests. If you go to my blog, radiofreeg.blogspot.com, you'll see that I have posts on just about everything. One day we're talking about war, one day we're talking about poetry, one day we're talking about the ghettoization of lesbianism. I mean, that's just the topics that I have. It's things that strike me very much in the moment, but with a timeless quality. That's what I'm looking for on blogs that I want to link to. Having said that, I've also found a great new tool for people to advertise their blogs. Now, this is not a pyramid scheme. There is no money involved. There is nothing that's going to be coming back to me, coming back to you. There's no nefarious dealings happening here. This is simply a service that's being provided by someone out on the internet as a centralized link exchange, and they offer some pretty good traffic. I'll be getting to that right after I get to the blogs that I would like to mention that have started. The first few that I went to that have agreed to a link exchange. In every show, I'm going to give you a taste of what they offer. And of course, everyone who links to me will get a dedicated link both in the post for the show on the blog and also a permanent link down the right-hand sidebar. That list is going to grow and grow and grow in 2008. The sky is the limit. Be on the lookout because I could be visiting your blog any day now. Super producer Mumbles, hit the listenership with the first one-shot of 2008.
Strangers, simply only people that haven't pissed you off yet. You're listening to Radio Free G.
How many awards will number one Radio Free G announcer Big V earn in 2008? The over-under is set at 5. The first blog that I would like to mention that participated in the link exchange with me is put up by two gentlemen called Doc and the Mountain Cat. It has a rather weighty title on it. It is, You Go Ahead and Keep on Believing That, .blogspot.com. A rather long title, yes, but I'm sure you can find them easily by Googling Doc and the Mountain Cat, or you can go to, you know, the whole point of link exchanges. Go to my blog, go down the right-hand sidebar, the link is there, and of course the link will be in the post for the show. These guys get my sense of humor. They are actually rather prolific in their postings. They put up sometimes a couple each day. The one that I would like to read for you is their celebration of Festivus. And as soon as I saw that, I knew I found a kindred spirit in the blogosphere. They're celebrating Festivus, and they are having their airing of grievances. If you don't know what Festivus is, look it up on Google. So just to give you a taste, I'll read for you one grievance aired by the Mountain Cat. He put up a list of 10 things that really annoyed him in 2007. Here's number 2 on the list. Anderson Cooper of Anderson Cooper 360 Degrees. Why are you so popular? Are you gay? Are you not gay? Or more importantly, do you have any originality other than about 50 odd other newscasters on your soapboxes? Oh yes, you have white hair. I forgot. Never mind. Yes, in that case you are different. But let me ax ya. If Anderson Cooper sucks, and you spin him around 360 degrees, does he still suck? See, now that's the kind of posting that I enjoy reading. That's the kind of quick shot of humor that you can get when you got 5 minutes to burn at work, or you're at home and you just want to check out something really quickly before you head out. There are longer posts, and as I said, that's only 1 of 10. I really enjoy it. Doc and the Mountain Cat. Check out the links on the website. And visit them frequently. Like I said, they're prolific. Sometimes they post 2 or 3 times a day. And before we hit podcast number 2, Super Producer Mumbles, let's have some information on fellow podcasters, T&M's Voices.
T&M's Voices. Log on today at tnm.sureshotmedia.com or subscribe through iTunes. Just search T&M's Voices and listen to Tito and Magnum bring sexy back. I'm bringing sexy
back. Yeah. The second and final blog that I would like to mention here is called Trivial Observation for the Board, and it has a URL. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. B as in Bob, E-I-N-G-U-B-E-R, Beinguber, I think it's called. Beinguber.blogspot.com. Again, this is another blog where the postings come fast and furious, deal with all sorts of topics. This one that I'm going to read for you, it is so good, I ask you to strap yourself in and get ready to not believe your own ears. The post is from Tuesday, December 18, 2007. It is entitled, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. What? Here's the story. I never quite figured out why the sexual urge of men and women differ so much, and I never have figured out the whole Venus and Mars thing. I have never figured out why men think with their head and women with their heart. But this little story from my friend in India made the most sense. Read on. One evening last week, my girlfriend and I were getting into bed. Well, the passion starts to heat up, and she eventually says, I don't feel like it. I just want you to hold me. I said, what? What was that? So, she says the words that every boyfriend on the planet dreads to hear. You're just not in touch with my emotional needs as a woman, enough for me to satisfy your physical needs as a man. She responded to my puzzled look by saying, can't you just love me for who I am and not for what I do for you in the bedroom? Realizing that nothing was going to happen that night, I went to sleep. The very next day, I opted to take the day off of work to spend time with her. We went out to a nice lunch and then went shopping at a big, big unnamed department store. I walked around with her while she tried on several different, very expensive outfits. She couldn't decide which one to take, so I told her we'd just buy them all. She wanted new shoes to complement her new clothes, so I said, let's get a pair for each outfit. We went on to the jewelry department where she picked out a pair of diamond earrings. Let me tell you, she was so excited. She must have thought I was one wave short of a shipwreck. I started to think she was testing me because she asked for a tennis bracelet when she doesn't even know how to play tennis. I threw her for a loop when I said, that's fine, honey. She was almost nearing sexual satisfaction from all of the excitement. Smiling with excited anticipation, she finally said, I think this is all, dear. Let's go to the cashier. I could hardly contain myself when I blurted out, no, honey, I don't feel like that. Her face went completely blank as her jaw dropped with a baffled, what? I then said, honey, I just want you to hold this stuff for a while. You're just not in touch with my financial needs as a man enough for me to satisfy your shopping needs as a woman. And just when she had this look like she was going to kill me, I added, why can't you just love me for who I am and not for the things I buy you? Apparently, I'm not having sex tonight either, but at least that bitch knows I'm smarter than her. Okay, this was not a true story. Again, that kind of posting sends me over the moon. I will admit, I was fished in the first time that I read that. I was reading with eyes wide, scrolling down my screen, and when I got to the end and found out it was a joke, I laughed. And I laughed really well. Because everyone at some point can relate to that story. It is within the collective experience of humanity that you go through something like this at least once in your life. To see it from the flip side was amazing. And I give kudos to the author. And very quickly, those are the first two blogs that have participated in the blog link exchange program that I have started. I am going to play the promo for the G-Band line, 1-888-49-GBAND. That's 1-888-494-2263. Available toll-free across North America. You can use it to send back feedback on anything that you've heard in the show. If you would like to have a blog exchange, or if you are a podcaster out there that uses a blog to promote your audio efforts, the same way that I'm doing right now, and you would like to have a promo for your show played here, give me a call on the G-Band. We'll hook something up. You can also send feedback to radiofreeg@gmail.com. So Mumbles, hit them with the promo, and when we get back, we are going to rip Vista a new one, like it needs me to do that. There haven't been a million and one magazine editors out there who haven't taken this thing piece of shit to task, but this is going to be my take on it. Okay? Mumbles, hit it.
Do you have a comment or show idea?
Do you have a phone?
The G-Band is now open 24/7, toll free from anywhere in North America. Call 1-888-49-G-BAND. That's 1-888-494-2263 to leave a message for the man, the myth, the growing legend that is Radio Free G.
Here we go once again. Every few years or cycle, as they say in the business world, Bill Gates or whoever the flying monkeys are that he employs to direct Microsoft decide they need to completely revamp the software environment and change your desktop that you have spent years figuring out how to customize and plan out your every move, making your clicks efficient and your programs run smoothly with the hardware that you have. They decide they have to hit the cartoon plunger and make everything go kaboom. I don't understand it. I'm sure no one else out there understands it. But being the 900-pound gorilla, Microsoft can make everything filter down to you through their stranglehold on the business and enterprise solutions market out there, because everyone makes their budgets in Excel or they use Access to query their information. That's where they got you. That's where they grab you. That's where they squeeze. That's where they make you pay. And of course, we all know what floats downhill. and you're waiting at the bottom to catch it. I don't understand what anyone was thinking when they came up with Windows Vista. Number one, let's give some credit where it's due. The best operating systems that Microsoft put out ever is a very short list of two. I'm not even going to include DOS, because as a command line operating system, it's poor. Let's get to Windows 3.11 and Windows XP after they put out Service Pack 2. Those were the only things that made Microsoft redeemable in my eyes, because at least those two items actually built and improved upon what came before in such a way that you didn't mind changing, because what was there before really was terrible and needed to be revamped. They were slow out of the gate with XP, that's true. But after Service Pack 2, Windows XP is a highly functional operating system. It works. It has everything that you need to customize your computer out the wazoo. You can find where problems are, and you can deal with them. So of course, they decide, hell, screw this. We just put out a new browser with tabs. We're 5 years behind the competition. Let's put out a whole new operating system and Office suite. The only thing that I can compare this to is Windows 95. The ultimate screw you to the consumer. They came out with this piece of shit that nobody could run, and then it was buggy to all hell. It took them 3 or 4 years to fix everything until they came out with 98 Special Edition, which finally fixed everything. But what about the people that spent all those years and all those headaches and doing the upgrading, because once again the stranglehold they have on the Office environment, and they make everything flow downhill because they can. Take a listen to this song and tell me if you've been involved with computers anywhere in the past 20 years if it doesn't ring 100% true.
I tried to run my programs with Windows 95. It makes it recommended, but I've got only 5. So there it was, my system, completely obsoleted, typing fat names with my fingers, cursing out loud at my mouse, killing my software with Windows, killing my software with Windows, needing more disk space with Windows, needing new programs with Windows.
So the first thing you notice with Vista is that there are 101 different versions of it. This, I don't understand. If it is an operating system meant to operate your system, there should be one operating system. You should not have one for home, one for business, one for this, one for that, one for your Uncle Jed. This should be a system that, this should be an operating system that you use, and then you put the other programs into it. How can you have a business system of Windows Vista compared to a home system of Windows Vista? You know what the difference is? Installing Word and Excel. That's the difference. It's putting the Office suite. That's what makes it an Office system. Hell, even XP, it comes with all these little knickknacks and doodads like Movie Maker, which I'd experimented with recently. It's pretty cool. Look up Radio Free G on YouTube and you'll get a nice video that you can watch. Feel free to post it anywhere and everywhere on the internet. You go and you get an operating system, like I was saying, because it should do everything for you. And I find out that in Vista, even in the home system, it doesn't have certain basic things like the fax feature anymore. It's just not part of the home system. The home system is a deficient system of Windows Vista. Meanwhile, that's the one that usually ships with all of the new PCs, because it's the cheapest one. It's the cheapest one to license. Example, again, they screwed with Notepad. Now, for those of you that don't know, and have never had the fun of opening it up to, as I mentioned before, play with your AutoExecBAT or config sys files or anything like that, Notepad is simply a text reader. It uses ASCII text. There's no bold, no underlining, no formatting. It's just straight text, no caps, no nothing. Just letters. Bang. They fucked with Notepad. The reason it's there is to be a simple solution for everything. And you go around and you mess with it. Given all these different versions of Vista, it's good to upgrade if you have an IT department, but how many of us have that at home? We don't have that. We buy the computer. We are the IT department. And we want things to be simple and usable. Why would anyone change? Now, there is good change. For example, switching over to Google Mail from Hotmail or Yahoo. That's an example of good change. You get rid of all those crappy ads on your screen when all you want to do is just check your inbox, bang, simple solution, done. You get one password, and then your Google account opens up all these other things that you can use them, you don't have to use them, it doesn't matter, but when all you want is email, it's there, it's fine, it's functional, and it works. Bad change. An example of bad change, any version of Vista. And just before I play for you the second song that will deal with showing you exactly how things have not changed with the 900-pound gorilla of Microsoft and them foisting all this crap on you day after day, year after year, service pack after service pack, buggy software, buggy software, buggy software. Pay me, otherwise I can't fix it. How they get away with it, I don't know. But in Office Vista, there is no more blue background screen option in Word. Why? Of course, the blue background comes from WordPerfect. Back in the day, people used to make a living just being WordPerfect gurus, learning how to use WordPerfect 5.1 and having that little keyboard cutout that went across all the function keys telling you exactly what everything did, because WordPerfect was a blue screen with a blinking cursor. That's all it was. I like the blue screen. It's a nice option to have that blue screen. Why would you go through the effort and probably pay some fucking code monkey extra to take that feature out? It boggles my mind. Take a listen. This is the second song. Once again, I wish that I knew where these songs came from so that I could give proper credit. The first one was about a minute long. This one is about 90 seconds. Almost 2 minutes. You will enjoy it.
Well, I bought it up. Brought Windows home and tried to boot it up. But when I load it up, it says my memory's not enough. I need some extra RAM to fix me up. I have to cough it up. Open my wallet up. It never stops, never stops, never stops, never stops. This Windows 95, it's sucking up my drive. It makes a Pentium fly. But my PC is obsolete. So much stuff to buy. I need a new hard drive. It's gonna suck me dry. My 386 don't have the speed. It takes an hour just to bring up the screen. Oh no, I'm making software.
So the circle of life continues. The exact same problems we had with Windows 95, we get them again with Windows Vista. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Where's James Earl Jones to do the voiceover of The Lion King? Hold on. Okay, well, I don't have that clip here available. But let me get to the final Vista experience, which is purchasing it with a new PC. Used to be that you would go and every time that you wanted to purchase a piece of software, there would be a list of specifications telling you what the minimum that you needed and then the recommended system specifications. Usually this had to do with, you know, if you wanted to play some high-end games and stuff like that. Now, Microsoft, in their genius, has decided to abandon that system and implement their own rating system as to the power of the computer. This is how retarded it is. The computer that I received, which I have since returned after 24 hours because I couldn't even stand to look at it. The computer that I received, when I started it up with Vista, it had Home Basic on it. It wasn't all maxed out with RAM because this was simply an out-of-the-box thing. I figured, okay, I'll just buy more RAM later. But, you know, the specifications on it were decent. We get to running this program, and I hit on one of the help functions, and there's something called an experience number. Now, what this means is, because Vista has so many, features. You can call them features if you want. I call them pains in the ass. It has so many features on it, such as display properties, sound, all this stuff that it does right when it boots up. I'm not going to get into it now. But it has a lot of things that you can turn off or you could turn on. And of course, this being an out-of-the-box, everything was set to basics. Everything was set to minimums. And the computer was still slow. Turns out that the experience number of the computer was 1. That was the experience that I was getting out of having Vista on that computer, according to Microsoft. How do you get around putting that material out there? If I buy myself a new PC and I spend money on it, why am I not getting the best product that you have to offer? Why would you allow your product to go out on a PC that is not capable of running it? The list goes from 1 to 5. Now, Microsoft is going to rate software and rate programs on this 1 to 5 scale. And your number is the lowest number that is given by the computer for any of a bunch of different categories, whether it be graphics power, processor power. There's about 7 or 8 of them. And the lowest number, that is your experience number. Now here's where the problem comes in. What if the piece of software that I want to buy has an experience number of 2? And my PC has a Vista experience number of 2. Then you would think I would be able to take that software and run it on my computer. That's not how it works though. Because each piece of software is for something different. Each piece of software does something specific, and it either requires that you have a certain amount of RAM, a certain amount of video RAM, it requires you to have a certain speed processor, it requires you to have a certain amount of space available on your hard drive, it requires you to have a certain type of optical media drive. There's so many things. I mean, computers are just like cars in this sense. Cars are just computers on wheels nowadays. Computers, your desktop PC, there are so many different pieces, and that is the strength of the PC when compared to the Apple products as their main competitor. The strength of the PC is that I can take a piece out and I can put a piece in. But taking a piece out and putting a piece in may not change my experience number, my Vista experience number. So I'm still back to the same process of checking the individual specs on the bottom of the back of the box on every piece of software that I buy to make sure that I can run it on my system. When I have to do that with the actual operating system and have all the different versions of the operating system, there is a problem. Someone needs to take Microsoft down. Someone needs to come out with something, and there are good alternatives. The crappy Explorer number 7 that Microsoft put out, everyone should be using Firefox. I love it. It's the best browser out there, as far as I know. Tried some of the other smaller browsers, yeah, they're okay. But in terms of features, customization, speed, and ease of use, nothing beats Firefox. You never have to use Explorer again. Unless, of course, you have some people out there who are still making pages only for Explorer. But even that's taken care of because there's an add-in for Firefox that will use the Explorer engine just in case you come across any of those retards out there. And usually those are institutions like universities, colleges, places like that, that simply put everything out there using only the Microsoft products that they're allowed to use. So to keep things simple for themselves, they make it so that, once again, you're funneled into the Microsoft fan of shit. Take cover, because it's going to come down in buckets.
Ooh! Nailing the G-spot for the very first time. You're listening to Radio Free G.
And finally, before we go, let's give you the quick rundown on blogrush.com. Get your browsers, point them to blogrush.com, head over there, and you will see that you can download, once, I know, you got to register, so give them whatever email you want and make up a password. It's not really that big a deal. Go there, and you can submit your blog. It takes a couple days for them to authorize you because they don't want it to turn into something like the next blog button on blogger.com. That next blog button, I can see why people are hiding the navigation bars on their blogs, because you hit that next button, and after two or three clicks, inevitably, it brings you to some porno page or some spam blog that just hijacks your system, hijacks your browser, and you got to shut down and start all over again, when all you're doing is looking for something new and interesting to read, and you figure, I'll take a random shot in the dark. That's what the next blog button is for. But it's been hijacked, and it's trash. You go to blogrush.com, you get the little widget that you can put on your webpage, you can put on your blog once they authorize you, and that shows 5 or 6 different blogs at random every time that you log in. So you can either go to your own webpage and surf over from there, and you can get a smattering of just different blogs that people submit that you know are real blogs that you know are being produced, and the content is being created by real people just like you and me. It's not something for business, it's not spam, it's not crazy internet porn sites that people have put up just to somehow confuse and hijack your computer system. This is real stuff, and it's good stuff. And it's how I found the two blogs that I did the link exchange with for this particular episode. So check it out, blogrush.com. I cannot say enough about it. It is one of the few blog publication sites that actually does what it says and says what it does. Simple, cheap, fast, free. They just launched phase 2. I don't know what that means, but they have a website. They have a video up on their website for members to check out. I'm going to be heading over to check it out right now. Everyone, get it, grab it, download it. Let's get some link exchanges happening. Don't forget to call 1-888-49-GBAN. That's 1-888-494-2263. Or get in touch with me via email, radiofreeg@gmail.com. Catch you again next time on the G-Band. End transmission.
You have been listening to Radio Free G. Send all feedback and show ideas to radiofreeg@gmail.com or visit the website at radiofreeg.blogspot.com. Catch you again next time on the G-Band. End transmission.